devils out of him. He healed him, and he put clothes on him, and he restored his mind. He restored him. Everything that was wrong with that man, all the cuts and sores and bruises, God restored that man, and he made him whole, and he put him in his right man. He put right mind. He put some clothes on him, and he put him in his right mind. Don't you know, if he restored that man's mind, he can restore your mind and others' mind. You know, there are other people. They have Alzheimer's. They have dementia. They have memory loss. Brain disorders that cause them not to be able to think properly. You know, people that hear his voices, all those conditions. Jesus attributed them to demons and devil spirits. This is what Jesus said they are. These are demons and devil spirits. And saints of God, he has given us power over all these demons and devil spirits in the name of Jesus. So we'll pick back on this when we come back again. We'll continue with this lesson, and may God bless you. Amen and amen.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. In our Lunch and Learn session last Wednesday, pre-Mother's Day message, we talked about the first woman in the Heroes Hall of Fame who was a mother by the name of Sarah. In this 23rd verse of the 11th chapter, we're going to find another mother here who has done some great things by faith and leading her family. And again, when you have it, say amen. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 23, begin reading now.
By faith, Moses, and even from home, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This story about Moses is a particular fascinating one, a particularly magnificent one because of the storyline, the narrative here. And what is interesting in this story is the fact that the first two words of the verse reveals how all of the sequences of the events that unfold happen. And the two words are what? by faith. By faith. If you forget everything else I say this day, hold on to by faith. Because by faith is going to remind you that if you're going to do anything that is pleasing to God, it's going to have to be done by faith. If you hold on to those two words, when you find yourself in a difficult situation, one that appears to be more than you can handle, remember those two words, by faith. When the enemy presents a challenge before you and is more difficult than you've ever dealt with before, remember these two words, by faith. This record says, by faith, when Moses was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Now, one of the things that I want you to look at, there are three observations I like to make in this one verse. I want to unpack it for you, so stay with me. I need you to hear it so it'll make sense as we go through it. Now, Moses here is a newborn baby. His parents, notice, mother and father. They don't list the name here, but they do in the Old Testament. But I'll tell you for the sake of info, Moses' mother's name was an interesting name because it meant the glory of God. And here, it's important to recognize Moses was not, again, able to select his parents, but his parents were given to him by selection of God. Now, I threw that out, interestingly enough, because sometimes we wonder, why are we in the family that we're in? If you've lived long enough, if you've had some members in your family, every now and then you wonder, like, Lord, how did I get caught in this kind of family? All right. Now, what's interesting again is all these things are done by divine providence, by God's important plan for our lives. Here, three months, Moses' mother nurses him. She cares for him. She takes care of him. And one of the things that I love about the fact that, and I'm going to come back and share with you a few more details, but I need to explain this first, that everything she did according to that the king, Pharaoh, had already given a decree on was already illegal. When the male slaves of the Hebrews were born, the king had given a decree that all male babies from birth to 2 years old would be thrown in the Nile River and drowned or eaten up by the crocodile-infested Nile River. And so here the Bible says that when Moses' parents, his mother and his father, his mother's name is Jochebed. His father's name is Amram. Amram. Now, when they together saw that Moses was a proper child, I want you to recognize point number one, vision. Vision. Because they saw both in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm, that Moses was something else. Not only when the word says proper, does it mean beautiful, does it mean comely, does it mean fair to look upon or very handsome, but it also means unusual, uncommon. It means special. And so when they saw he was a proper child, they had a divine vision from God to not obey the command of Pharaoh the king and throw that baby in the Nile to be eaten up by crocodiles. Well, one of the things that you need to know, and I'll throw this out parenthetically, because when the wise men of Pharaoh had said to him that they had seen in either a vision or a dream that there would be one who would rise up from this Hebrew clan, the slaves under the power of the Egyptian power and government, that would overthrow the throne of Pharaoh. Their recommendation was that he's coming out of this group of people, and he may already be here. So babies born from now up to 2 years old, kill them. The male, doesn't that sound familiar? In Jesus' time, it was a image, a shadow of what was to come. And so God gave them a vision, both his mother Jochebed and his father Amram, the understanding that this boy is special, he's unique, he's different, he's something that God has something to do with. Don't obey Pharaoh's directive. And so, this message could have been entitled, "It's a Family Affair," because what you're going to note is when they had the vision, they had the vision in a multiplicity of ways. One, they saw, I told you, both in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. They had a vision that God had something to do with this child. Secondly, they had to make a sacrifice, a vision of a sacrifice, because if they weren't obedient to the king and they would have found Moses in their home, then not only would they have killed Moses, but they would have killed the mother and the father also. So not only did they see the vision, both in the natural and the spiritual, but they also made a sacrifice, both in the spirit realm and the natural realm. And then thirdly, that vision was that they were to save young baby Moses, to deliver him from Pharaoh, because one day baby Moses would deliver his parents and the people from Pharaoh himself. And so they saw the vision of that. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when God has chosen you for a great work, it's his job to reveal the plan to the participants who will be a part of the process. Everybody might not know the plan. Everybody may not know the vision. But the people who are supposed to know would have some inkling that this child is special. God's got something to do with this person. Now listen to me, because I want you to understand. Look at how God navigates the circumstances of life. That Pharaoh's daughter, with some of the most pristine pools in the palace, the freshest, clearest spring water brought in to the palace to be able to take baths in and to be bathed in and to be massaged and cared for, wanted to go down to the dirty Nile and take a bath in the Nile. Some suggest maybe as a little girl, she played at the Nile, and you know, like the Mississippi River, it carries a lot of soot and dust and dirt, so it's always muddy looking. It's not a clear, pristine waterway. But perhaps her nannies maybe let her play in the water, and every now and then you go back to where you used to be walking down memory lane. And so maybe that day God inspired her to take a dip in the Nile River. While she was preparing to take a dip, Jochebed and Amram were building a bassinet and making it waterproof. And as they were making that bassinet waterproof, 3 months had passed by. Baby Moses has gotten bigger now. They can't hide him anymore. His screams are much louder and stronger now. He alerts passerbyers on the outside when he cries now, so they know they've got to do something. God's timing is impeccable. And so Jochebed gives Moses a kiss and squeezes him tight, puts him in that little handmade ark they made, and pushes him down the Nile where the daughter of Pharaoh is bathing. But what's interesting about it is that Miriam, Moses' sister, was one of the caretakers of Pharaoh's daughter. And so while the little ark is coming down the Nile and the women are taking care of Pharaoh's daughter, the Lord appoints Moses to hit a note right here. And Moses hit a note that struck everybody's attention. And they fetched Moses and brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And when she looked upon him, she saw how beautiful he was. How could they kill such a one? And so she decided that she would keep Moses as her own son. Moses' sister says, it looks like he's still needing a mother to give suck to. I know a lady. I wish I had a helper. And maybe you can pay her to take care of him for you until he's weaned off. And she said, go get her. And Miriam goes home and get her mama and say, mama, I got a job for you. It pays well. And you're going to have to nurse Pharaoh's daughter's new son, which is your son Moses. What a day of rejoicing. I say, what a day of rejoicing. Can't God fix a situation up? Listen, when the word says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, you need to know God has got this thing. So now, the enemy is living in the palace, and he's treated like a son. And so the next observation in the text is the word venture. We have vision by faith, but we have venture by faith. Because the word says, and they were not afraid. And they were not afraid. My brothers and sisters, when you venture, you embark upon something that's dangerous, something that's difficult on a journey. They were at that point of conviction by faith that they were going to see to it with everything they had in them to make sure Moses had the opportunity and the chance to be and to do what God had purposed him to do. Now, I need you to understand, it is Jochebed, Moses' mother, who's leading the team. Dr. Lawrence Jackson says always, he loves to say this, teamwork makes the dream work. And Jochebed was leading the team, calling the plays. There's not much said about Amram, but here's what I need you to understand. He was a strong figure, the strong, silent type. He knew who he was. She knew who he was. The family gave him his respect, and he allowed her to do what he knew God had given him, her, to be able to do. It's because of the vision God gave. And I want to throw this out parenthetically again. When he said, and when they saw, he was a proper child. That word saw, again, means share. And when they shared the vision. It wasn't clear whether or not Jochebed saw it first or Amram saw it first. But here is the thing. They shared it. Because they were what? They were one. They were one on one accord. And therefore, when one has it, then the other has it as well. And because they shared, that was no time for division. And the team, listen, including Miriam, Moses' older sister, was in on the plan. And it was a venture that could have caused them all their lives. But here's what you need to know, that this venture was a venture of faith. A venture of faith. The Bible tells us, one, you need three things. First, you need the word of faith. In a venture. Is God saying this? Is God showing you this? Is God giving you any reference in his word that this has been done before? So in a venture, you need the word of faith. They got it. They got it. When God revealed he was a proper child and gave them the vision for what to do, it was their word of faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So they had the word of faith. But then we also know from the word of God that faith without work is dead. So they had to have works. They had to plan a work, and they had to work a plan. And so they had to have works to go along with their faith. In other words, they couldn't just sit there and say, well, Lord, thank you for this vision. Ooh, I give you praise and glory and honor. Ooh, thank you. Ooh, I know how you're going to bring it to pass. I'm going to just sit here and wait till it happens. I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just waiting on you, Lord. No, it would have never come to pass.
All right.
Why? Because not only did they have a word of faith, not only did they have a work of faith, but here's the most important part of this trilogy. They had to have willing workers of faith. Willing workers of faith. And Jochebed and Amram were, and Miriam were all willing workers. It may have cost them their lives, but they were willing workers of faith. And every venture that God gives you is not an easy venture. It's not always a convenient venture. Sometimes it costs you even the estimate of life itself. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Remember, they didn't fear evil because they weren't afraid. Fret not yourself because of evil doers. And so they were walking in faith as a family. My brothers and sisters, it's amazing sometimes who God uses. Sometimes it's the mother who's at the head of the family of faith. Sometimes it's the father's faith who gives direction to the family. But sometimes it's the child or the children's faith that inspires the family. God uses whomsoever he pleases. And so that was the venture of faith. But thirdly, and I'm through, that was the verdict of faith. let me tell you, you got to have a made up mind. I said you've got to have a made up mind. When God gives you an option, when God gives you an opportunity, you have got to make up your own mind whether you're going to do it. You might know he said it, but it don't mean that you're going to obey it. How many of us have known the word of God and deliberately disobeyed it? Come on, be real with me this morning, because I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about every one of us in here. We have known better and still decided to do differently. We have heard God say, don't go that way. And we like, turn the radio up some, because oh, that devil messing with me right now. No, that was God. You knew it was God. You heard his voice, but you try to drown him out. I got news for you. He'll let you get by, but he won't let you get away. Yes, sir. And sometimes we miss him because we do things the way we want to do them. But their verdict was they were not afraid of the king's commandment. In other words, here was their verdict. They'd rather obey God.
All right, all right.
Than to obey man.
Come on, doctor.
And see, there comes a point in time in your life where you're going to have to realize, listen, I can't listen to what everybody else is telling me. Now, there was no higher authority in Egypt than King Pharaoh.
Oh, Lord.
There was nobody in Egypt who could have saved Moses' parents from being put to death had they been discovered before Pharaoh's daughter discovered Moses in the bassinet in the Nile. Who could have saved them? And yet they chose to believe an invisible God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 9-